This is Jim Fetzer on Light on Conspiracies with Ole Damegaard.
Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I'm here again with my new friend Marty Leeds, who is an exceptional researcher in many different areas. And I really would like to learn more from him about the numbers and also the use of different occult techniques against us, how we've been hijacked in what areas, and how we can get these so-called powers back by getting a better understanding of what has been hidden. So, Marty, can you please tell me a little bit about why these specific dates are so important for the forces, the dark forces, when it comes to assassinations, false flags, and so on? They're all the time these numbers, again and again, that are being repeated. Do you know the importance of these numbers and why they keep using them?
Okay, well, there's a few things we can look at here. Let's first start out with astrology. Let's first start there. What is astrology at the end of the day? I mean, many people have different viewpoints of what astrology is. Like, I was born in Gemini. That means I have these certain traits and things like that. And all of that, I think, has a legitimacy. But at the end of the day, what astrology is basically tracking and mapping time. And so when you look at the patterns of the stars and the patterns in the sun and the moon, basically what you're doing is understanding God's plan, God's law. You know, mankind didn't put the sun and the moon up there, didn't put the stars up there. The creator did. The great spirit did. And so that creator has given us, distinct cycles, distinct patterns, distinct movements, distinct seasons, things like that, for man to come to understand, help him come to understand what he's doing here in part. So when you look at the people that, and astrology, mind you, is one of the holy sciences, is one of the sacred sciences of old. You know, astrotheology and like the zodiacal makeup of man is something that is lauded by every single mystic that you'll pretty much ever read. You know, I mean, if you go into any of the secret societies, any of the occult traditions, whether that's Gnosticism, Hermeticism, alchemy, you're going to find the zodiacal makeup of man. And that's the idea that man is a reflection of the stars. He is a microcosmic reflection of the macrocosm, right? That he's literally made of the heavens, if you will. So then you have these sorts of periods in the year in which these sort of like false flags happen. Let's point out the big one, right? Let's point out 9/11, right? Then you say, okay, 9/11, it happened on 9/11. And everyone's like, oh, that's the emergency number for, you know, America, and it's so interesting that the terrorists use 9/11 or whatever, right? You know, that kind of joke. Well, actually, 9/11 didn't happen on 9/11. So everyone's incorrect about that. I know we say it happened on 9/11, and in our clock it happened on 9/11, but it didn't. 9/11 happened on 7/11, because September is the seventh month. Septa means seven. So our entire calendrical system and how we even number it is completely off. So for instance, Aries is supposed to be the first month, right? Or March is supposed to be the first month, which is Aries. And that happens on the spring equinox, right? And that's the beginning of the year. That's spring. That's when life springs up, right? So if you make March the first month, you have March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Well, that's seven right there. So September, October is eight. Nov means nine. Dec means 10. December means 10. So why in the I've talked about this endlessly, and it was like, why in the world are our months mislabeled? It's like, what's your name?
Ole.
Ole? Nah, fuck it. Your name's Frank now. I'd be like, well, no, my name's Ole. And they're like, no, I'm just gonna call you Frank. That's the same kind of thing that we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, December is 10. Nah, we're gonna call it 12. Doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense at all. So then we look at September as the seventh month. It even says Sept. And then they call it 9/11. Well, so 9/11 didn't happen on 9/11. It happened on 7/11. Okay, who cares? What's 7/11? It's the numbers to give you the fundamental triangle that is used to create the Great Pyramid of Giza. It's a triangle with its base of 11, a unit of 11, and the height 7. Now, this fundamental triangle is found when you go through the process of squaring the circle, which is a metaphysical concept of uniting the heavens and the earth, uniting the circle of the heavens with the square of earth. Yet again, a time-honored concept that's lauded in alchemy and Freemasonry and all of these sorts of things. So basically what you do is you try to find a circle that has a square of equal area, right? And you really can't do this because of the infinite nature of pi, which is a whole, we could talk about an hour, we could talk an hour about that stuff. But basically what you get when you do this is this fundamental triangle, and that triangle is at 7-11. So what these people are doing by marking it 9-11 and really being 7-11 is, number one, throwing you off an actual calendrical system which directly links you to the pattern of the sun. And number two, they're showing you that they are of the knowledge. They're of the sacred sciences. They're going to drop those two buildings, and they're going to do it on a very specific date, 7-11. Of course, you know the 7-11 grocery store, right? Or the you know, little market or whatever, right? So now let's look at this whole idea of the numbering system. So now if September is the seventh month and 9-11 was on 7-11, well, the vernal equinox would be on what date? Equinox is usually on September 22nd, right? Well, that would make it 7-22. Well, 22 divided by 7 is 3.142. So the vernal equinox, according to an actual calendrical system, which starts the calendar where it should start in Aries or March, leaves literally the zodiacal marking of the circle of the year, and there's a line that goes through it to create the equinox, and that line and that circle happens on 7-22. Then, so that all of that's completely, it's all fumble-bummed, right? Like none of it, nobody, you know, it's like how many people would say that it's September, well, September's the ninth month, dude. And then you point out that it's seven, people would be like, what, wait, what, huh? That doesn't make any sense. Why else do they do these conspiracies often on, you know, like 777 was the other one, right?
Mm.
Right, which actually happens on 5-7, right? So what's happening in the year at that point? Well, the sun's dying. The sun is symbolically dying. The year is dying. Everything is falling. It's going into its tomb in autumn. It's going to the death of winter, which accordingly, if man is a microcosmic reflection of the macrocosm, if he is an expression of those cycles, what's happening to his consciousness? It's dying. It's symbolically going through the same cycle of death that the sun is going through. And what happens in winter? How many people get depressed in winter? Why is that? Right, they say that I've heard this stat before, I don't know how true it is, but how many people actually commit suicide on Christmas, right? You know, so then you literally have the symbolic death of the sun in the seasonal path, and you have the consciousness of humanity being lowered. And then all of a sudden, then you have these elite people shocking humanity, giving them that sort of like trigger against their consciousness, and especially 9-11, it shook the whole damned world, right? And it left us in this just erratic sort of like, what's going on sort of state. And while we were dealing with all of that, they were continuing their agenda, of course, and the sun was dying. And so we were dealing with this mass tragedy, worldwide tragedy, as the consciousness of humanity is being lowered. So think about that. So that's the kind of thing that you're going to learn from astrology. That's the kind of thing that you're going to learn from astrotheology. Is that, hey, man, you're a reflection of the patterns of the cycles above. You understand those patterns. You get to understand a little bit better why they do the things they do.
We're back again to figuring out the coding of the universe. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when did they change the name of the months like that?
That's a good question.
And it's January and February. Should that be the 11th and the 12th month? Or?
It should be, yeah.
But enero and febrero, what does that stand for?
That, I'm not sure.
January.
It's not
old Roman, I think, isn't it?
It's Roman, I'm pretty sure, or Latin. But I'm not sure if that means 11 and 12. I don't know if it does, honestly. But you definitely have this manipulation of the numbers and the names, you know, right there. So when did this happen? I don't know. I mean, the Gregorian calendar was created, I want to say, in 1600s, I want to say. I think it was earlier than that. I want to say it may have been late 1400s, I want to say. But you definitely had, and then you look at the historical time frame, 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, you had a lot of stuff going on at that point, man. You had, you know, the Italian Renaissance. You had the creation of the first printings of the English Bible. You had the creation of the alphabet that we use today, the English alphabet. You had basically the foundation of it then. You had the creation of Freemasonry back then. You had the resurgence of alchemy back then. I mean, there was a ton of stuff that was going on then. And so I think there was a huge sort of battle between that sort of good and evil forces back then. And I guess we saw what won.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just to be straight, I have no idea when it was changed. All I know is that I can use my rational and common sense mind, sensible mind right now, and look at it and say that doesn't make any sense, you know? And a lot of cultures, I don't want to stop you, but a lot of cultures still, and I know the Islamic calendar, I know many of Hebrew calendars, they still start their year in March.
In March.
That is the first month. It's you're marching forward and springing forward in that new year.
But it's the whole time thing is just bizarre, I think, because we said that, okay, Jesus was born on the 24th of December. Why didn't we start counting from the 24th then? You know, instead of, no, it's January the 1st, it doesn't make any sense at all.
And it doesn't.
So that should be a major alarm clock right there. You know, like.
And really, when you get to the end goal, it's really just to confuse you. It's just to mess you up and you know, because it doesn't make any sense. And so, and when things don't make sense, people just kind of ignore it and just kind of move along, you know, about their day or whatever. But to me, it's just to confuse you and to get you to not understand where you are in time, if you will. I just did a video called De-Occulting the Auto Industry. And there's a quote that I put from J.P. Morgan at the end of it. And it says, millionaires don't use astrology. Billionaires use astrology. Why? Because God put it there.
Yeah.
The creator put that there. You can't fuck with it. You can't fudge it. You know? And that's what Buddha was saying when he was saying that three things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth, because that can't be screwed with. You can't screw with the cycles of time. You can't screw with the patterns of the sun and moon. You know, that's something that's there for humanity, that any human being that comes onto this plane of existence can look up and come to understand. And that leads us right back to that 28 phalanges of the, you know, the lunar cycle.
It also leads us indirectly into the whole flat earth area that I believe is an area that has interested you. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mean, in general, I'm a flat earther, you know. I mean, I just made a video talking about that as well, but basically saying, you know, it's like, oh, are you a flat earther? No, I'm not a flat earther. I'm a man of science. And as a man of science, the scientific method and the principles of science have told me that the earth is not what we've been told, at the very least, you know. The flat earth thing, I mean, I would say it's probably one of the biggest revelations that you could possibly make, you know, as far as like the deception of humankind.
Do you know, I have a friend who's super intelligent, and he got very pissed off when this whole flat earth thing appeared. So he just got sort of like on a quest to just shoot it down and show how ridiculous it was. And now he's a total advocate for it. I mean, he has his friends of geeks that are using all different kinds of scientific methods to prove that the Earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why do you think this is important at this point in history to find out, is it a sphere or is it flat, or why is it important?
Well, I mean, I say it's important because the truth is sacred. So if it's truth, then as you say, the creator put it there, so therefore it's divine, it's sacred, and so therefore we should align ourselves with it. End of story. You know, that's why, I mean, that's why it's important to me. At the end of the day, I still don't know where I am. I mean, I know I'm on Earth. I know I'm in this plane of existence, and I know what I'm doing here. I know what my personal end goal is here, but what is the Earth? What's below the Earth? What's outside of the dome? Is there a dome? Is it an infinite plane? What's the moon made out of? What's the sun made out of? What are the stars? How does the stars work? How do the southern star rotations work? I don't know. There's an epistemological limit to all of this stuff. And you're really going to come against that quote unquote ice wall of your mind, if you will, when you go into this stuff. There are questions in creation that you will never be able to answer while you're in this creation, period, in my opinion. Just because you're never going to be able to touch the surface of the sun, if there is even a surface of the sun, if you will. Why? Because it's too out. So there's that idea that you will never, ever truly, truly know what that is. And the only thing you can do is question, hey, what's my relationship to it? What does it mean to me? What is it symbolic of? What does the sun have to tell me? What are the attributes and qualities and principles and the symbolism of the sun that I can extract from and then make sense of my world? You know, the same issues that you had that I had in a heliocentric model, how far does space go? Where's the edge of the universe? What is the, you know, all of that sort of stuff. You have so many of those still exist within the flat earth model, you know? It's like I said, what's below the earth? I have no idea.
Mm.
You know? So you still have those issues either way. To me, ultimately, truth, why is flat earth important? Because we're being deluded. It's an enormous deception. The truth is that at the very least, what we're being told about our earth is not true. So we should find out what's true and, you know, present that and do our best to, yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
Do you think there was a reason why it suddenly exploded this whole, I wouldn't call it a theory, but this whole new awareness of a flat earth? I mean, it came from out of nowhere. I hadn't heard of it. And then suddenly it was all over the place. Do you think there was a reason why that somebody let part of the truth out there as a diversion for us because we were getting too close to other areas?
Yeah, it could be. It's honestly a very reasonable thing to consider when you talk about disinfo and stuff like that. I know that I've basically been completely shunned by an enormous group of quote-unquote truth seekers because I talked about flat earth now. So what does that say to you? You know, it's, was it released in a way to discredit what would be considered the truth community? Could very well be. But the truth can act as, especially if you've been lied to your whole life, the truth can act as that sort of agent of deception. And which is so ironic in a way that the truth can actually deceive you or can be an agent of deception, I should say. So was it released? I don't know. Look at, this is the thing I always go back to too. Look at all of the things that are being revealed in our time though. Say, you know, throw flat earth out the window. Look at all the other stuff that has been born out of the last 20 years. The resurgence of all of these ideas, I mean, you know, astrology, the symbolism, the secret societies. I mean, shit, before Dan Brown even released the Da Vinci Code, how many people even knew about Freemasonry? You know what I'm saying? Like, that really brought people to the beginning. So it seems like there's this sort of movement in time right now that things are being unveiled in general, and I think the Flat Earth movement is part of that. One of the things I considered I did this video called The Flat Earth, The Ultimate Litmus Test. And one of the things I talk about is the Mayan calendar in that. And the complete misconceptions about the Mayan calendar and what it's all about and that it was supposed to be an apocalypse and end of the world scenario and all of that stuff. When you actually talk about the people that had studied the Mayan calendar, guys like John Major Jenkins, honest scholars in there, they'll tell you that the Mayans said nothing of the sort. They said it was going to be that when the Mayan calendar was ending, that it would be a period of transition and that there would be a new earth that is being unveiled. And of course, that period of transition is always going to be a hectic period of transition. But the 13 Bakhtun calendar is something that is not, it's mathematically sound. It's something that is not, I mean, no one question, I mean, you shouldn't question it if you've actually looked at it, the legitimacy of that calendar and how long that calendar has been kept and what they actually thought about the cycles of time in the calendar. The fact that the 13 Bakhtun cycle ended on 2012, and in this time period, look at, now we have the resurgence of flat earth. To me, there's a connection there. And then when you look at the mapping of like all these ancient cultures, whether that's Hindu, whether that's Grecian with the great Platonic year and the Hindu cycles and the Yuga cycles, you talk about the Mayan calendar and the 13 Bakhtun cycle and stuff like that. All of these ancient cultures that had some sort of advanced knowledge were mapping and tracking large periods of time because they said that there was transitional periods in this time, that each age would be, you know, a different quality and that sort of stuff. Is any of that true? I don't know. It makes a lot of sense to me, though. It seems way too coincidental that this ancient calendar that comes to a cycle in 13 Bakhtun, a 25,000-year cycle, a 24,000-year cycle, and now we have the resurgence of flat earth. Take that for what it is. To me, it's interesting as hell.
You know, one thing I don't get is why all of this anger? I mean, just because somebody finds out stuff that might be true or not true, why all of these conflicts and these attacks and anger within people that are supposed to search for the same thing? I don't get it. I see it in the 9/11 as well, you know, around Judy Wood. Everybody is either against or for. I see it around James Files, the alleged shooter on the picket fence. I mean, there's why? Because
I don't know about the flat Earth. I just know that when I look out the window, there's a lot of things that doesn't match up with the official story. That is, as soon as you start really looking into it, there's mm-hmm. something wrong out there. So,
but why the anger? Why these conflicts? And are they really necessary?
Well, for most people, it challenges their fundamental view of reality. So that's the problem. You know, I mean, the analogy has been made to me, and I think it's a perfect analogy, that when you wake somebody up to flat Earth, if they're not ready to be woken up, what you're doing is like you're waking somebody out of a deep sleep, and they're not, you know, and you're just like, hey, I'm going to wake up. And then immediately you wake up and you're like, oh, what the hell are you waking me up for? And you get all pissed off and angry and you're like disheveled and, you know, you're kind of figuring out. And that's really what it's like to wake somebody up to flat Earth. They're just like, well, no, that's not. No, I've been told my whole life I'm a ball. I believe I'm on a ball. I've spent all of this time contemplating and philosophizing about infinite space and all of this sort of stuff. And I really believe in science and we're making all this progress. And then all of a sudden you just go and take all that away from them. For some people, that's completely devastating. For true truth seekers, it's like, oh, great, there's more truth. Awesome. You know, so the anger comes from that. It comes from waking people up that are not ready to be woke up. And now the videos that I get, the comments that I get on people that are pro heliocentric model, it's all attacks, man. Every single one. Not a lick of science is brought to the table. It's all, you're an idiot, you're an imbecile, you're stupid. It's all slanderous. It's all ad hominems. It provides nothing in actual honest discourse. So, you know.
I've been so busy these many years. You know, with the, I just had to focus on some area where I thought I could make a difference. So my part was has been these assassinations and false flags. So I haven't really looked into it. But I, at the same time, like I said, there's something that doesn't match up at all out there. So I'm super interested in learning, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But I was sitting here talking to a friend the other night, and I thought, okay, boom, let's say flat Earth is reality, then why was it, did this disinformation campaign start, and from what point? And I was saying that, okay, so if you come from a flat Earth and you are at a point where you totally want to deceive the population, so they say, no, you're on a ball, you're in infinite space, you have no power, you're useless, you're just like a grain of sand. And that is I can see the mm-hmm. psyop in that one. So could it be correct that it started out like that because they knew no one can ever check that out? And then it's only in recent time when technology and the internet and all of these things have started to get so advanced that suddenly people are becoming aware of that this manipulation doesn't match up, that it's now that they had to try and come up with more advanced conspiracy mm-hmm. cover-ups. In because now you have GPS, you've got all of these different Google Maps and the measurement methods and so on, and suddenly they're putting themselves in a very tricky corner. They painted themselves into a tricky corner where they really need to prove that it's round, and they can't do it.
I think the people that have created this deception are so fucking insane that they're just like, I mean, we're just going to do whatever, and then the quote-unquote sheep are going to believe it. And they're right. You know, the masses do believe it. There was, you know, I was on 4chan once, and there was supposedly this FBI informant or whatever that was messaging on 4chan, right? And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the guy said something that was just so poignant to me. And he was just like, he said something to the effect of like, hey, I'm in with, you know, I'm part of the FBI and I'm in and I see these elites and these heads. And he basically just said that they believe that they could tell the public anything and the public would believe them. And I have to say, whether that's true or not, whether that guy is real or not, that's true. I feel like if the elite came out and you know, Project Bluebeamed us or whatever, and flashed some aliens on the dome or firmament or in the sky or whatever, that you would get masses of people immediately believing that. So I think that they're so callous that they're just like, we're not going to get caught. We're just going to go ahead and do this, and the people are going to believe, you know. And then so I don't think that they were ready for this.
No, but also when they started with the round Earth version, that was in the 14th. Mm-hmm. Late, I mean, when Columbus took off towards India, he thought that he was going to come to the edge and fall over the edge, or he was risking that. So the it was somewhere after that when the this with the ball formula came up, wasn't it? And at that point, I mean, what did people know? So it must have been very easy to deceive them.
Yeah, and you got to think too. I mean, this is pretty sinister, but you know, all it takes is really a generation manipulating a generation to change the rest of the future. You know what I'm saying? If like you dumb down one generation, well, then that just exponentiates as you go on. So that's, I feel like that's what we've had for probably hundreds of years now, is just this slow dumbing down of humanity in every way possible. And the fact that even if we just take this conspiracy back to NASA in 1950s, let's say, even if it's only that old, let's just say, I mean, that should tell you something right there about the generational aspect of these sort of cults that perpetuate this madness upon humanity. That should say something about how they pass on information to themselves and through their own bloodlines and through their own, you know, cults or whatever. You know, I mean, the fact that this has gone on since 1950, you know, at the very least. And then you say, hey, it could have gone on hundreds of years before that. I mean, that's a pretty eye-opening, when it comes to looking at the evil and exposing the evil, that's a pretty eye-opening thing to recognize when you really realize it's cross, you know, it's generational. It's a scary thing, too.
Yeah. Could you take us into the area of the CIA and what you found out around this organization?
Well, okay, so, I mean, I don't even think I covered, did I cover this in that video? I did a de-occulting of the CIA. And all I basically am trying to show in the video, and trying to show with a lot of this stuff, that all of these, especially government sectors like the CIA, like NASA, like DARPA, I'm about to do one on DARPA, by the way, they're occult organizations. They're just littered with occultism, within the symbolism and the numerology and all of that stuff. So I basically did a video on the CIA and looked at the symbol, just the main insignia for the CIA, and showed how that, you know, as relates to the human hands, shows the triangle, that you actually can get the number 180 from the mathematics of this. And the idea, even statistically, that this would be just a fluke or a coincidence is absolutely absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And so basically what I'm trying to do with that de-occulting series is show that a lot of these institutions and organizations that we think that might be just sort of benign, if you will, are heavily influenced by the occult, heavily influenced by the cult. And we know that with NASA. I mean, it's well known that NASA, you know, you have guys like Jack Parsons, who started JPL, you know, involved in the Ordo Templi Orientis. You know, you have the Project Paperclip, supposedly some Nazi scientists, whatever you feel about that. But we do know that there's some very, very shady thing, situations that actually was the foundation for NASA. It's the same thing for the CIA. It's the same thing for nearly all of these government sectors now, is that they're highly occult. I was gonna give an example, but I want to wait till the video comes out. So.
So how does that affect sort of a normal employee of the CIA or one of these?
They have no idea, right? I mean, that's the other thing too, is when somebody tries to draw everybody into the conspiracy, right? You got to understand, man, there's tons of useful idiots out there. People that just are never going to question anything like this at all. And those are the people that are brought in to do the work. I mean, NASA is a perfect example of that. My friend told me that he's like, when I started talking to him about Flat Earth, he said, you know what, dude, I hate to say this because I know that I sound like an asshole by saying this, but I always thought that when I looked at NASA, that everybody that worked at NASA just seemed kind of dumb. They just seemed kind of vacant and vacuous in their intellect when they would give interviews and things like that. And I agree with them, man. Like, to me, they look like they're just useful idiots. You know, like the program that you have to go through supposedly to become an astronaut or to even work at NASA is crazy. I mean, they're cherry picking all the people that are going to go into that, you know, that organization and just believe wholeheartedly in it. you know. So if somebody comes along and is like, sees a NASA employee and is like, oh, you must be a Masonic shill that works for the government, you know what I mean? It's like an occultist or something. It's like, no, that guy could very well just be a complete idiot. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think in general, more often than not, that's what you have with a lot of these conspiracies. You probably see that with false flags too, even with crisis actors. Those crisis actors are probably, a majority of them, I want to say, are probably not in on it, if you know what I'm saying. That they're being paid to do a job, and they probably have no clue about the true nature of the evil that is behind what they're doing, you know? And that's not to make an excuse for them at all, right? But, and I don't know how you feel. I mean, you deal with false flags. What's your take on the people that are involved in actually orchestrating some of this stuff?
Just another day at the office.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've spoken to insiders. I've studied so many of them, also the crisis actors, and so on. I mean, many of these crisis actors are just not very intelligent. They have no idea what they're taking part in.
They got a fat paycheck too, I bet.
Fat paycheck. They have to sign all of these confidentiality agreements that if they even whisper about it, they will just be sued from here to the moon or killed. You know, Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower, who was in some false flag during his career, and he has described it very, you know, in detail. He just says it's just another day at the job for these at the office. You know, bye bye, darling. I'll be back at 5. You go there, and what they do in the office is set up timelines where instead of it being a marketing agent. See or marketing agenda for Coca-Cola or whatever, their product is terror, and that's it, you know, no big deal. And but it's just awful because the impact it makes on humanity is just so horrendous. So
at one point in this, like pretty early on, I was very skeptical about essentially like a majority of these events being false flags. I was very skeptical about that. But now I'm kind of on the other end, and I'm like, any major event that's presented is essentially a false flag in some facet or another. And when people say it's like, you know, that people always call it like a psyops, right? And psyops means a psychological operation. And then the people that are like, no, it's not a psyops. Well, the entire government is a psyops. I mean, like literally by the etymology of the word government, right? A psychological operation, govern your mind. So it's like when people are like, no, the government wouldn't do that, or these are not all psyops. It's like, no, the entire government, at least at this point too, is the entirety of it is a psychological operation. And that includes NASA. That includes the CIA. That includes the TSA. That includes all of these false flags. I mean, that's where I'm at now anyway.
I have to agree with you. You know, like it's not good for my reputation to keep saying that's a false flag, that's a false flag, that's a false, because it feels like, oh my God, he's just off the hooker. You know, like what is up with this guy? But at this point, there's so many things, so many claimed accidents, so many violent crimes that have been claimed, mass shootings, terror attacks, alleged terror attacks, all of them carried out by the same people. And mm-hmm. I interviewed this, he's an American U.S. police officer, or he's been a detective for some 20-odd years, and he is the one saying, just confirming it. He's looking into so many different accidents and violent crimes on a local level and so on. He says, I mean, so many of them, false flags. Also to get the statistics up there that would then justify them to get more and more, you know, robocops in the streets and get more and more, but also just a general freaking out of the population so that they're in constant fear all the time. So so I feel, you know, just by them stop messing with us, that would just lift this world to a whole new level, because it's like there's this mad serial killer that are out there in the dark, keeping on in this fear mode. If they stop messing with us, boom. So
I also think there's this fundamental problem too with how, you know, people say like, oh, the media is dead or whatever, right? Oh, the major media is over. It's like they've been totally exposed. I think that's complete horseshit. Mm. You know, I mean, and this is it. it says something about human psychology too, that when you put out, that when the major media puts out a narrative, a complete, more often than not, it's complete bullshit, right? But once they put that narrative out, that's the narrative that the entire quote-unquote truth community or conspiracy community has to fight against. And as long as the major media and the governments and the corporations or whatever you want to call that, that whole machine that's behind that, as long as they continue to control that narrative, we will always be fighting against that because they control the first thing that enters into the human being and their mind, and that's the thing that stays with them. It's the same thing that happened on 9/11, and you're still fighting it till this day with people. The first thing that was entered 3 days after 9/11 was like 19 terrorists, Islam, Muslims, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that is what maintains and retain that people retain in their head. And you're always fighting against that. So as long as the machine that is the government, the propaganda machine, the major media, as long as they continue to put that narrative out, we will forever be fighting against the lies and the deception. It's only until we as a community create the narrative. Like the next narrative that comes out is that, hey, you know, Obama was a baby killer or something. You know what I mean? It's, you know, some piece of truth or whatever that gets put out there that people can cling on to, as opposed to the lies that come from the machine, if you will.
I haven't watched normal TV for the last 12 years, I think, and I see myself as well informed about a lot of the things that are going on.
That's why you're well informed.
Maybe that is. But also, I don't see these people as controlled. You know, I used to work as a journalist, and I didn't feel controlled. But I was directed, you know, in do this, do that, and so on. And only once was I stopped. You know, it was in, that was when I felt, the only time I felt that there was some kind of invisible hand from above just saying, don't go there. And I think with a lot of people working for media, they're so stressed out. They're by design being pushed to the limit to go to all of these totally not important things, you know, like this football player's knee, he has a damage, or that actor has a bad stomach or whatever, instead of focusing on the real thing that really takes time. They are not allowed to get that time to do these type of things. And so I don't blame them at all either, even though I hold them totally responsible for being part of pumping this crap out there, because it's the same with soldiers and people in uniform, as well as media. They are the ones doing it to us, pumping, keep us drowned in this crap. So we need to direct them as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of these people's ideology prevents them from going to these places too, because they've been lied to and indoctrinated their whole life. So when they actually get to a point where they might be questioning something, like, for instance, the shape of the earth, if you will, immediately their mind won't let them go there because they've already been told that that's kind of nonsense. So when it comes to like an actual journalist, like looking into false flags or something like that, they may already have it in their mind pretty set that, oh, that's ridiculous. The government doesn't do that sort of thing. So they're just never going to go there, you know. And if they did go there, chances are they wouldn't be a journalist for too long.
That's the thing. You just have to, just like Chip Tatum said, you just have to set you a few examples, you know, like show people what's going to happen if they do it. And that makes most people back off. You know, it's fear is the thing. Fear is the control tool. That's the only way they can control us, fear.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about fear, would you? About fear and love and how to deal with these two forces. Easy question. How do you deal with fear?
Okay, what's easy? Fear, I read this one. Fear is a misuse of imagination. You know, like, you know, and I need to learn this as well, because I'm guilty of being fearful of things as well. But that, you know, if you going on stage is a perfect example. The first time that you'll ever go on stage, like if you strap on a guitar and you go play with your band, the first time you go on stage, chances are you're going to be frightened as hell. You're going to have the butterflies in the stomach. You're not going to want to go on. But, but there's a reason for that fear, because then you get to overcome that fear. And then the very place that you feared becomes, for a working musician, the place that he's at home at, you know? So a lot of those things that you fear if you're fearing something, that's probably exactly where you should go. You should hit it head on. And you'll probably come out of the other side of that, you know? And we kind of discussed this with the Pedogate, the Pizzagate thing. I mean, that whole thing is just sinister and evil, and it's full of a fright, if you will. But you go in to educate yourself and become a more conscious human being, and you come out on the other side. And now that I've come out on the other side of that, how many people have I affected in a positive way to shine a light on that, to become more open, more loving, more caring? I mean, out of all the videos, those are some of the best responses I've ever gotten. Like, thank you for doing this because, like, you know, it's hurt my heart and things like that, but it's opened me to the, you know, to this evil world. And so that's more knowledge, it's more consciousness, it's more enlightenment. So the fear and love question, yeah, it's always going to be there. I mean, if you don't have any fear, you're just going to walk through life. It's just going to, you know, along. So it definitely has its place. I mean, evil has, I hate to say this, but I mean, you know, the creator created the world, and evil has its place. So it's good to overcome that evil. But, you know, hopefully that kind of roundabout answers that question.
You know, I had Max Egan here for a few days, and we were talking about different things, not flat earth, because that would just freak him out, but we were talking about The Matrix, and he said that actually that is a documentary. I thought that was an interesting statement.
It's so funny you said that. My lady just said that the other day, that The Matrix is more like a documentary. It's so funny. And we were actually just going to watch it last night, but I was like, I can't do it. I've got too much stuff on my mind or whatever. But it really is. Like, I mean, The Matrix is much more of a documentary than it is a fictional movie.
I think so, too. The first episode, I think, or the first film is just really, really interesting.
That it is a remarkable film, too. I mean, scene by scene, they just killed it in that movie. So, and the Wachowski brothers that are now sisters now, that whole thing is very strange, too. Like, what happened with them? And I don't know if you've seen Cloud Atlas and some of the things they've talked about since. Basically, Lana and I forget what the other person's name, but they were brothers, and then they both went through a sex change through this whole foray into Hollywood and stuff like that. So what was going on there and what happened to them and what they know and what's behind that, that's a big question mark. It's very interesting, though.
But isn't it strange how these people, also Bradley Manning and people like that, suddenly they go out very strong, you know, very fearless, expose incredible things, and then they end up doing sex changes and name changes, and it's like, somehow I feel that they have been overtaken, you know, that something has happened to them. Or
compromised, for sure.
And it's very sad to see. We still have to be very grateful for these things that have been brought forward.
It is. And then the question is, okay, if you have a script and you're the Wachowski brothers, now sisters, that had The Matrix, how did they get the funding?
Mm.
Right. And you know who was behind that to make sure that movie was a hit movie? Because you know there has to be this huge advertising campaign that comes with all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's basically essentially a propaganda campaign. So who are these people? What's behind them? Were they actually trying to make a movie to trying to enlighten humanity and wake humanity up to the madness, or is this just the machine, if you will, the elite promoting this to kind of thumb their nose at all the dummies in the world that thinks that this is just a fictional movie when it's really a story about what's happening to humanity currently? You know, I don't know. I would like to know those answers, but it's a big question mark.
Mm.
There's so, and you mentioned the Truman Show. Like, once again, there's another example of that. Who wrote that? Who was behind it? Who had the money behind that?
Mm.
What was the screenwriter trying to say? What does the screenwriter know? What does the director know? You know, these are all really important questions.
Yeah, because when you check out the film industry and so on, I mean, nothing passes the higher levels, you know, also when the money starts being important, you know, without approval from Pentagon.
The heads, yeah.
including Pentagon. I have that from
him. I know a friend who's working with one of the big movie companies in the UK, but it's an American company. And he says that he's quite high up there, and he's very aware of what's going on, you know, and we were talking about these things. How come, you know, when you see the animated films and so on, where there are chemtrails in the background and there's all of these things that is hand put there? I mean, it's one thing if you just film the sky and you happen to film a chemtrail, but here, since these are 3D animation things, they are put there by on purpose and all of these weird things and things. And I asked him, on his level in this company, were people aware of the agenda? Because when you see the finished product, the finished film, you see, whoa, that is some. And he said, absolutely not. And he's, so yeah. It was a mystery to him as well. It's almost like on the very last level in the power pyramid inside the company, that is where these things are injected.
Yeah, have you seen, this is made hip to me by Matt Landman and the Daily Sheeple. I don't know if you follow that, but they were showing how these old films, like old cartoons and things like that, that they were putting, as you were saying, they were putting chemtrails in these old films. I mean, and it's very clear that they were doing it. There was multiple examples of like basically newer Blu-rays or whatever that were put out, and then they showed the old movies and they're showing chemtrails in there. It's like, who's in charge of that?
And why?
It's obviously happening, and yeah, it's just like, it's this invisible hand that's always behind things, kind of screwing with humanity. And I mean, like I said, I don't know. I wish I had answers to these things, but I don't. All I know is it's sick.
That we can agree on.
Can
I ask you, there's one of the things I found in different series of operations when it comes to false flags and psyops and so on, is that sometimes they use color codes. Have you any understanding of the different, why they use certain colors that keeps being repeated?
Well, I know that, like, I mean, it's pretty well established, I'm pretty sure, in just like basic psychology, that certain colors, just like when you paint a room, some colors are very warming and very inviting and very, you know, homely or whatever, and other colors are make you stop, and it's like you don't want to go there, and just like, you know, the stoplight, you know, red means stop, you know. So obviously there's a deep understanding of human psychology and its relationship to how colors affect us. And you see it in corporations all the time. Like, you know, there's a reason that McDonald's uses a big yellow arch. You know, yellow is the color of the sun, right? You know, you have that yellow color that brings you to light, if you will. You know, that illumination, that's what you're drawn to, as opposed to black. I mean, how many corporations do you know use a black logo? I mean, can you even name one?
Listen, buddy. We're coming to the end of the show, but before that, please, you were talking about the logos and brands in the car, in automobile industry and so on. What mm-hmm. have your research showed you in these areas?
I would highly recommend people watch that video, De-occulting of the Auto Industry. It's only maybe 20 minutes long, 15 minutes long, something like that. But basically, I kind of show how, and I look at gematria and how these are encoded numerically. But I also show how the basic symbols that they use, insignias, are based on fundamentals in sacred geometry, essentially, that they continue to use. Pi is a huge one. Pi is found in like the Nissan logo, the Oldsmobile logo, the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How they use the wing disc, the ancient wing disc, which is not just Egyptian, it's Sumerian. Mayans have used the wing disc. How that's found in like Dunkervort and, you know, Aston Martin and all of these different things. You'll find out, you know, I think we discussed this hour, we talked about astrology. And what you're going to see is that, and how important astrology is even into mapping time and even understanding where man is in time, if you will. Well, you're going to see that all of these companies, the majority of them use astrological signs. I mean, whether that's Dodge Ram, whether that's, I mean, you could just go on and on and on about how many different companies use astrological signs. Well, then you have to say, well, there's got to be some connection there. You know, it's not just like this is just random. All of these companies decided to use the astrological. It just doesn't make any sense. Then it kind of points once again right back to the holy sciences or the sacred sciences that are being hijacked from humanity, and kind of like, once again, thumbing your nose, flashing it at you, saying that we're in the know, kind of thing. So that video, I think it has like 6,000 views or something, which is just absurd. But whatever. But it's insane. I mean, the idea that you would come to the end of that video and say that this is all coincidence is nuts.
So why do you think they use these symbols?
Well, going back to what we said, you know, earlier, that these are, you know, this is of the sacred sciences, of the holy sciences. And those holy sciences point to a direct understanding of the creator and the creation and man's role and his position in this creation. And so when you flash those things, basically what you're saying is that we're of the knowledge. We are in the know. That's the you know, the little gold pin that, or the secret handshake that says I'm part of the club and you're not. And how, and then you realize how many people drive around cars every single day. Millions upon millions of people drive around in these cars every single day, and hardly any of them even look at the logo saying, huh, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Why did Dodge choose a Ram as their best-selling truck? And then is it a coincidence that, you know, in English gematria, Dodge equals 22 and Ram equals 7, and 22 divided by 7 is pi, and a Dodge Ram, a Ram is Aries. And that's exactly, as we talked about before, that's the spring equinox. So that actually, in the circle of the year, actually creates pi. So, you look at all that as like, is that a coincidence? Or is that the people that are in charge of those companies are in power behind that saying, look what we got, look what we know, you know?
Well. Listen, I really want to thank you for spending this time with us and helping us to a better understanding of what's going on. I also want to salute you for you devoting your life to exposing these things. It takes a lot of courage. I know that it takes a lot of flack as well. And I hope that your girlfriend will give you a hug from myself and the rest of us.
Hey, you have to give me a hug, he says.
Yep. That's it. No, because, you know, like, we need guides. And when you're in a fog, you need people out there to show the way, that there is a way out, even though it looks confusing for the guide as well. There is a way. It's just one step at a time. So I really want to salute you for doing that. And with that said, could you please tell us how we can support you, how we can, if we can help you in any way or form, accomplishing what you try to achieve?
Yeah, like, you know, I said in the first hour, just share the videos and get people hip to the channel and really explore it. I mean, you know, I keep a selection of videos up there so that, like, if you wanted to really delve into the work, you could just sit down for a weekend and just kind of watch video after video. And at the end of that weekend, I can almost guarantee that you're going to have a different outlook on life than you might have now, because there's just so much information, so many different avenues and facets that I deal with, and different phenomena in the world that all link itself through the mathematical study and the linguistic study. So if you want to support, I have Patreon. If you want to do that, you know, I've got several books for sale. You can do that. I have videos for sale, a bunch of stuff on my site you can check out. But mainly just, yeah, share the videos and, you know, on social media and that sort of thing. And, yeah, check it out.
Sounds great.
And thank you for having me on, and thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Like I said, if my podcast was still going, I was going to have you on, but I had to cancel that, unfortunately. So.
Well, I hope you're going to bring it back on. Anyway, thank you so much, and have a great day, and hope to see you soon.
All right. Peace, man.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
In slow motion, connecting the dots between the assassinations of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, JFK, Robert Kennedy, and John Lennon. Now available on Amazon and lightonconspiracies.com. Coup d'etat in slow motion.